Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today the subject, if you want to call it a subject line, Our God Shall Fight for Us. That's what Nehemiah said in the 4th chapter of the book of Nehemiah in the 20th verse when he was challenging his people after there was the criticism and the derision, the trying to discourage the people, and then a full-scale conspiracy to overthrow the work that God had called them to do. They continued to carry out the work. They continued to be faithful. While they were watching, they were working and carrying out the work. 49,942 people were able to successfully carry out the work of the wall building in 52 days because of the mind to work and a willingness to watch and be obedient to the Lord. We're talking about that in relationship to what we see taking place today, where the media has basically shut out. They have shut out the information from we the people that most Christians and conservatives are not aware of what's taking place with the suits that President Trump has filed, not from being vindictive, not from trying to hang on to an office that perhaps he has lost. That's not the case at all, but because it was an illegal, treasonous act that caused it to look as though Joe Biden is the winner. We're talking with today, in relationship to that subject, Mike Hill. Mike Hill is the congressman from District 1 from the House of Representatives in the state of Florida. And I'm thankful that Mike has, as I call it, Mike, I say you got your head screwed on straight. You love the Lord. You're conservative. And I appreciate you more than you know in relationship to your stand and your blessing to me personally. And I pray that you're a blessing to our listening audience each time we have this opportunity to talk. Take a few moments to continue your thought, and then we have a caller on the line that we'll go back to. But continue that thought that we had just before the news break.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, what we are seeing right now before our eyes is a coup in the making. And it's utterly amazing that we are seeing, this is historical, Dr. Youngblood, that we are living in a time when we are seeing where the left is actually trying to take over the presidency, to take over control of this nation illegally. That makes it a coup. It also makes it illegal. It's a treasonous act that should be addressed, and that is exactly what President Trump is doing. As you say, he is challenging these illegal activities that are taking place, and he's not doing it out of a sense of whining or being a sore loser. He's doing it because he wants to see justice prevail. And that's all we all want, is to have justice to prevail in this nation, the right thing to take place. And there is a much bigger reason for that, Dr. Youngblood. And that is because God established this nation, that this was a God-ordained and established nation. It's so clear when you read our Constitution, the founding documents, the Federalist Papers, that all of that will make sure and certify that this nation was set up as a Christian nation. God ordained this nation for a reason. The reason why he established this nation is so that the United States of America can fulfill its destiny of preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. And what President Trump is doing right now is making sure that justice can prevail so that we can continue that mission. Should we let the left win this, and it is a battle between good and evil, they will slow down, if not try to stop completely, that mission of preaching the gospel to the lost world.
Absolutely. You have stated it so succinctly and so well. I am thankful for that statement. It is Trump in his battle to preserve the integrity of our founding documents and the future legacy for not only we the people today, but for our children and their children for generations to come. Because I want our listeners to understand the outcome of this election will dictate the future of America for all of the foreseeable future. Hold on, Congressman, if you would. I believe we have Derby on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, concerning the recount or verification of all the votes, I have an idea. For every fraudulent ballot found, not only should the vote be taken away from Biden, but it should be added to the Trump candidate. Because the Democrats cheated, they need to be punished for cheating. And if you don't punish them, they'll do it again and again and again. So take it away from Biden and add it to Trump. Not only that, this should be done for all the races in the House and the Senate. The senators and House members should also get an extra vote when you take one away from Biden. And one more thing, whenever you find fraudulent ballots, votes, money should be taken away from the paycheck of all the officials and employees who did the counting, who allowed the fraudulent count to take place. Unless you penalize the cheater, what are we here for then? And the penalty should be go against them. And one final thing, unless you have clean voter rolls, you can never have an honest and fair election.
Exactly right. Derby, you spoke to the very issue that I think is one of the key elements, and that is the fraud, and I simply call it beyond fraud. It's actually treason and a coup, as Congressman Hill just mentioned. It is a coup. It is a treasonous coup to overthrow the authority of our Constitution and the elected leadership of our nation. One of the things that, and Congressman, you can speak to this if you would, but one of the things I find that's personally disconcerting is that we see these things taking place, these fraudulent moves, and it's rare to hear of an ultimate penalty, i.e. prison time or fines for those that are perpetrating the fraud and the attempted coup. Just as we know Ilhan Omar and others committed fraud in buying votes and for their election. So it's something that we ought to recognize. Address that. How should this be handled, Congressman?
You know, the caller made a very good point, as you did, Dr. Youngblood, that there should be some ramifications for these treasonous actions that are taking place. We know there's a law right now that election fraud is a felony. And what should happen is those who have been found to have committed this felony, that they are indicted, that they have a fair trial, and if found guilty, they should be punished. Because just as the caller said, if you don't punish the perpetrators, then they will just continue to do it. There's no bad result for their actions, and there should be. That is what justice means. Justice means not only making sure the right thing is done, but those who have done the wrong thing are punished for it. And I think that's exactly what we need to do. And we're seeing, like, as you mentioned, Omar, we have a corrupt state attorney, attorney general in that state will not prosecute her. I forgot the gentleman's name. He used to head up the Democrat Party there in that state. But he is as corrupt as the rest of them, and so he refuses to press charges. That's where we need to have the federal government step in and make sure that laws are abided by, and when they are not, that they face prosecution.
Congressman, I believe that, and speak to this issue, and then we have a call on the line, but I believe that when it comes to a presidential election, that all presidential elections, that cycle of election, should be under not state election laws, but the unified federal election laws. So there's a unification of what is acceptable and what is not, what is legal and what is not. Because right now we have a juxtaposition of laws across the states as to what is right and what is wrong. And I believe the individual you're speaking of, that's the state attorney, district attorney, or attorney general for Minnesota that Ilhan Omar is in, is Keith Ellison, if I'm not mistaken. And
that's right, yeah.
He is just as wicked and spoiled, if you please, from the standpoint of any legality of any that you would find as in any state attorney general. Hang on there, Congressman. I believe we have Greg on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
It's interesting to note that this attempted election theft we're viewing today has been a long, long, long time in the making, state by state, as Republicans, as conservatives, as constitutionalists have attempted to clean voter rolls. To take folks off that have passed away, to remove folks that have moved away, to make sure that illegal aliens are not, state by state, to have that done, to properly true the vote, the left always rises up, and they find some leftist judge somewhere that says, no, no, you can't do that. That's voter suppression. Somehow or another, this has to be corrected nationally, not with just a state-by-state patchwork. So there's some uniformity, and obviously we have the 14th Amendment, and that's applied. The equal protection component is applied. That was a key component in Bush v. Gore. But what do you see moving forward? And obviously, if we have Joe Biden for 4 years, we have no corrective act. So I pray that this election is made right, and that we see Donald Trump, even at that, with a legislature controlled half of it, the House of Representatives by Pelosi, AOC, and her leftist crowd, will not really see legislation. Is there an executive order fix? Is there some other judicial fix, perhaps, that could come into play so that nationally we could see a correction between now and the midterm elections, or between now and the next presidential election? What do you see?
Congressman, I'll put that over in your bailiwick. What would be your response?
I think the caller made some very excellent points and right on target, that this has been in the making for a long time. In fact, it is widely known now that President Kennedy stole the election from Richard Nixon, and that Richard Nixon did not challenge it at all, even though it was known to be full of fraud at that time. And I think what we're seeing now is, and by the way, President Trump still needs our help. And when I say needs our help, is that there are rallies being called all around the nation called Stop the Steal rallies. I spoke at one this past Sunday here in Pensacola, and they're being held in various places around the nation. Christians should show up at those places. And here's something else Christians should do. Go to Trump.com and send in $5, $10, any amount that you can. Because these challenges cost money. And if President Trump himself was not such a wealthy individual, you probably would not be seeing these challenges going on right now. But he needs our help. So please, go to Trump.com, send in any amount that you can to help financially with these legal challenges.
Absolutely. Now, and Congressman Wilde, you're saying that, and Greg's still on hold for us to continue the dialogue. Let me add to that. Our church, our ministry, had sent out an email to about 6,000, and they had sent it out to others. It says, President Trump, defend my vote, hashtag stop the steal. And we recommended in that that they go online and send an email or send it by snail mail or pick up the phone. Ladies and gentlemen, the White House telephone number is 202-456-1111. If you don't get an answer, if it's busy or if there's a recording, call 202-456-1414. That's the White House, 202-456-1111, 202-456-1414. And just leave a voicemail. Mr. President, defend my vote. Stop the steal. And simply say when you voted, where you voted, that you voted for him, and let him know we're praying for you. We're holding your hands up. We're standing with you. We're asking God to give us the victory in this election. And for our listeners and for Greg and for our congressman, what the people do not know, and the purpose of today's broadcast is to inform our listeners of some positive things, though we've got to deal with the negative, some positive things that's taking place. For example, Alaska has been called for President Trump. The state of North Carolina looks like it is Trump. It's almost 80,000 votes for Trump above the Biden vote in the state of North Carolina. There's a major number. That number is North Carolina, about 80,000 votes. Biden is about 14,000 down. But there are other states, the state of Georgia. The state of Georgia, there is a major lead right now in the recount, a major lead for President Donald J. Trump. And I think that's going to be the finding, Congressman. And, Greg, I think that's what we're going to find. When everything's said and done, I believe it is God that's going to give the victory. And just as Nehemiah said to his followers as they were building the wall, our God shall fight for us. And that ought to be the mantra. That ought to be the promise that we have in the Word of God. Greg, do you have any other questions or comments for the congressman today?
I appreciate the reference to God fighting for us. And throughout Scripture, we saw that over and over and over, whether it's Nehemiah, whether it's Joshua, whether it's Gideon. However, it requires human participation.
Yes.
God stepping in. It's after it follows our obedience, our doing our part. As much as we are saved by faith, it is through grace. It's God's grace, but it does require an action on our part, a believe, a receive, a repent on our part. In the case of Gideon, he could not sit down and wait for God to give the victory. Gideon had to engage the battle. It was his faithfulness, it was his obedience that made him a mighty man of valor. When Jesus came to him, and he was in fear and by the wine press, threshing out wheat. He referenced him as a mighty man of valor. He was in fear in that moment, but through obedience and through his participation, God did make of him a mighty man of valor. So for every one of you that's sitting out there going, well, God will take care of this, God's got this, God will take care of this, don't sit and wait. Do what God has called you to do and participate. Engage the process. That's all I have for you today, but thank you so much. Continue the fight. I appreciate both of you more than you could possibly know.
Thank you so much for your call. And just as Greg was saying, when you go back to the book of Nehemiah, for example, ladies and gentlemen, when the enemy started crushing in and got a whisper conversation going in the group of followers of Nehemiah in rebuilding the wall, had them petrified because they threatened that at night when you're sleeping, we're going to come in, we're going to destroy all of you. And that's the same type threat we're having today, because AOC and the other three, if you will, along with Nancy Pelosi, which, by the way, I don't believe, Congressman, that she will be reelected as Speaker of the House come January. I think that someone else will be the Speaker of the House for the Democrats on the left. But there's the mindset, and right now there's the push to get up an enemies list. And it is being pushed by the extreme left and the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. that all of those that took a stand for Trump, all of those that are on the payroll for Trump, all of those that were leadership, they were standing for Trump in the election process, they ought to be listed. They ought to be blacklisted and terminated from any future employment in any field. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today about the issue. And the issue is our God shall fight for us. We're talking with Mike Hill. Mike Hill is the congressman for District 1, Florida representative in the state of Florida. And, Congressman, I'm looking at an article that says, Michigan County Clerk discovers total votes counted by election software did not match the printed tabulation of votes. Do you think that, I'll speak to this rather than ask stating it, let me ask you the question. When there's a recount, do they recount the hard copies, or do they go back to the PDFs from the machines and count them?
I honestly don't know the answer to that, Dr. Youngblood. I do know that they count the hard count. They recount the hard votes, those that were cast with ballots electronically. I don't know. I would think that they would, but how you do that again, I'm not sure.
Well, that's the thing that I've read up a considerable amount on it. And the thing that is dangerous with the hammer and the scorecard Dominion software, and by the way, you might address this if you have the any insight on it. I'm told that Dianne Feinstein, Barack Obama, Hillary and Bill Clinton, and others in the Democratic Party are the owners of the Dominion software that was created by a former intelligence person that was out of the Obama administration that was knowledgeable of software. The software was designed initially for the United States to use to jump into the election systems of foreign nations to overthrow their election system clandestine fashion. And that was used, and it was used in a masterful way. But in that software, when a voter's ballot would go in, it would immediately flip the vote from Trump to Biden. So if they go by the electronic approach, it is highly dangerous because you get the same results. In the state of Georgia, for example, they're having to hand count the hard ballots, the actual printed ballot. In Pennsylvania, that's where they will wind up having to do, and they're remonstrating against it. They're challenging that thought because they say it'll take so long to recount the millions of votes. But I'd rather see them take the time and count the hard copies and go back to the machine copies of that and therefore see it be the same false numbers. In fact, Congressman, the Pennsylvania Speaker of the House has called for a full audit, not just a recount, a full audit of all of the state's election in the state of Pennsylvania. Are you familiar with that? And if it's a full audit, what does that mean versus just a recount?
I am not familiar with that, but I would say that I agree with that, that there does need to be a full audit. But what we're asking for, Dr. Youngblood, is just simply that the rules be followed, that
yes,
the right thing be done. We're not asking that Trump wins. That's not what we're asking for. We're just asking, hey, do a true, accurate, verifiable count of all the ballots. And should Trump win, which I believe he will, then great. If Biden wins, we will accept that. As long
yes,
as we know that it has been done correctly, legally, and the rules are followed.
One of the things that I'm looking at here, it kind of is a kind of a little checklist of the Michigan election workers. And this is some of the things that took place in Michigan. Ballots were counted even though the voter's name did not appear on the official ballot or the voter's roll. Number two, election workers were ordered to not notify voters' signatures on absentee ballots, not verify signatures on absentee ballots. Number three, election workers processed ballots that appeared after the election deadline, falsely reporting that the ballots had been received prior to November the 3rd. And, Congressman, I understand that there's been several. In fact, Sidney Powell, the attorney for the president on this, says they have over 11,000. That's 11,000, not 1,100, 11,000 sworn affidavits as to things that has taken that have taken place in these battleground states. And in this one it says the workers' process ballots that appeared after the election. And I understand that the postal worker, one of the affidavits that's been signed, was by a postal worker that affirmed the fact that his supervisor had directed postal workers to take the ballots that came in late and process them, backdating them, back posting them as the postage date would go on them at the post office, showing that they were on the 3rd rather than the 4th and the 5th as were the actual dates they came in. So what we're saying, just as you've said, Congressman, is we're wanting the vote to be a true vote. We're wanting only those that are citizens to vote. We're wanting to count the legal ballots. We hear the mantra by the left saying, we want all ballots counted. Well, on first smear, you think, that's true. No, it's not. We want all legal ballots to be counted. Speak to the issue, Congressman, of some of the other inequities that we've found, that we've seen, that is the cause, the reason, the rationale for having President Trump having to file the suits.
Yes, well, we have been seeing, as you mentioned, not only electronically that votes have been changed, but we're also seeing that ballots are coming in, as a prior caller had mentioned, Greg had mentioned, of people who should not even be on the voting rolls. They have already passed away. We have seen evidence of votes coming in, and the age of the people were over 100 years old.
One was 129 years old.
That's right. Utterly amazing. And not just one, but several like that. And as we have tried to do here in Florida, I know when Senator Rick Scott was governor, when he was trying to clean up the voter rolls, remove those who are no longer living in the state, remove those who have been deceased, and he was going through that and was cleaning up the voting rolls, and a judge ordered him to stop. What I would have done at that time, had I been governor, is I would have ignored that ruling from the governor, from the judge, because that was an illegal ruling. He had no basis of justification for it that's in law. And he should have continued doing what he was doing to remove those who should not be voting at all. That is the easiest thing to do, to clean up these voting rolls, to make it all legal, justifiable, and right.
Absolutely. Congressman, we've got about 30 seconds left on the broadcast. Challenge our people. What is the call to action? What should we, the people, do to hold President Trump's hands up?
As you said, Dr. Youngblood, call the White House. Call your congressman. Tell them to stop the steal that we are with President Trump. And also go to Trump.com and send in $5, $10 to help with this fight. As one of your callers said, we just cannot say God will fight for us and sit back. We have to take action with this to save our great nation.
Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll leave you with a final thought. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 20. Nehemiah said to his people, our God shall fight for us. Keep that in mind as we continue to watch. We need to work and ask God to fight for us and give victory. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Thank you, Congressman, for being with us. Ladies and gentlemen, looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 and on Sunday mornings at 8 on 100.3 FM. For expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety at 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. Tune in and invite others to listen.